several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wind me.
There is no doubt about it, I've got the best job on the planet. It's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. Oh my gosh, I have so many things I want to talk about on this week's Grape Encounters Radio. I fear we will not have enough time to cover all the things that are on my mind. And I must say, my head is still reeling from last week's incredible high school reunion. We had actually five classes get together, hundreds of people getting together and just having a roaring good time where we drank a whole lot of wine. It was way too much fun. We even took the party over to Mom and Dad's house, and that was a lot of fun until Mom started telling a lot of my old classmates that she thinks I drank too much wine. I don't think you can drink too much wine. But it made me think about how much wine we drink here in the United States versus other countries. And it turns out we're wine-drinking wimps when you compare us to some of those European countries. So we're going to take a little look at that later on in the show. But first on our show, we're going to have Jim Fialek. He's the executive director of the Santa Barbara County Vintners Association. They've got a big event coming up, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and he's going to help me muddle through some of the topics that are on my mind. And then a little later on in the show, we have Tristan Johnson from morewinemaking.com. We have a really special topic we're going to talk about today. It's wine blending, a favorite topic of mine and one that we do not talk enough about on Grape Encounters Radio. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. But first, I wanted to share a really nice letter that we got in the mailbag from Randy Holiday. I don't know where Randy lives, but he says, "Found your show via iTunes looking for wine podcasts. I've listened to many of your past shows and now download regularly. In general, I think you do an outstanding job. Great format, lively pace, generally very interesting guests." And then he goes on to say, "As a recent listener, only found you about 2 months ago, you are my podcast of choice for listening to during workouts. Love to sweat and learn about wine in parallel." You know, his letter got me thinking that, you know, a lot of people have real misconceptions about wine and calories. And I know Randy's out there sweating it out in the gym and maybe trying to burn off some of his wine drinking calories. But you know, wine's not really as high in calories as we all think. And that's one of the things that I'm going to talk about with my next guest, Jim Fialek. Like I said, Jim is the executive director of the Santa Barbara County Vintners Association, and we've wanted to talk to him for a very long time. I am so glad, Jim, that we finally got you on the show.
And I've been wanting to be on for such a long time, and I've not that I've been feeling left out, but you know,
you feel jilted?
Well, no. I went to Catholic school, so I never feel jilted. I only feel guilty.
You feel guilted? Okay. Well, listen, Jim, you're the executive director of the Santa Barbara County Vendors Association. How many winemakers are we talking here?
Well, this is one of those great questions. We have 182 federal bonds in Santa Barbara County. And so once you start breaking that out, the numbers can go either way. We have in our association 114 winery members, and that represents over 120 winery labels. And they range in size from 700 cases produced a year to over 100,000 cases produced a year. So, and everything in between. So I don't know that we have an exact number on the number of of wineries in Santa Barbara County. And by winery, I'm going to define that as you go to a store and you see a label, you're going to call that a winery.
Right, exactly.
There are not 200 winery facilities in Santa Barbara County.
But the number is growing constantly. I mean, there was a time when there were only two or three, and I got to think that Santa Barbara County's winemaker population is probably growing faster than just about any place on the planet, right?
Well, the winemaker population is growing physically, and it's also growing in people's minds too. Because I mean,
yeah,
with the interest and the ability to get information instantly, people are winemakers. Almost instantly, depending on how quick their computers are working, and if they have a lot of memory available. So it's really pretty interesting these days compared to when I started in the wine business in 1971, and even the telephone was difficult to handle at times.
Well, beyond representing the Santa Barbara County vendors, you just have such a wealth of knowledge about wine, and I hope you heard my comment a few moments ago about my mother's complaints about my wine drinking, because I really think I am not an excessive wine drinker, but I mean, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, you guys are throwing one great big party on October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's the celebration of harvest, right? This is a big event.
Well, not only is it a big event, it's our 20th annual celebration of harvest.
Oh, man.
And the actual festival itself happens on the 9th, which is Saturday, and it's from 1 to 4 at Rancho Sisquoc, which is arguably one of the most beautiful on the planet. It is an original Spanish land grant. It is the only one in California that is in exactly the same formation as it was when it was granted. Nothing has been added or taken away from it. It is just, it's a stunning sight. It's where the Sisquoc River comes out of the mountains down, right before it joins the Santa Maria River.
It's an incredibly beautiful spot, and even if you're not going to the Celebration of Harvest, that's a great place to wander up to and just have a picnic. They'll let you picnic right there on the grounds. It's terrific. But we've got so much to talk about. Tell me, how many people will be participating? The actual event at Sisquoc will only be 3 hours, right?
The event is 3 hours. Every single one, did you hear that? Every single one ESO of our membership attends. That's part of the association. So 114 winery members will each have a table there pouring.
That's absolutely the greatest torment that you could possibly offer us wine drinkers, is to have that many winemakers who all are serving 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe wines, and to only give us 3 hours to taste them in.
Well, does your mother call you Davey?
Well, you can.
Okay. Davey, have a plan.
Have a plan?
You can't just go in there and say, you need to have a plan. I'm going to taste wines from Santa Maria Valley. I'm going to taste wines from Santa Rita Hills. Or I want to taste all the Syrahs from 2007. I'm going to taste Chardonnays that were have no oak on them. And you go around to each table and you ask.
I'm getting the idea, and we got to get more deeply into this in just a second. This is going to be a very complicated decision-making process.
We've
got Jim Fialek of the Santa Barbara County Vintners Association talking about the Celebration of Harvest, which is coming up next weekend, and we're going to talk more about it here on Grape Encounters Radio. And you've got David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and be sure to check out all of our other past episodes in our Grape Encounters archive.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
know wine and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Are you new to Grape Encounters Radio? If so, you may want to check out some of our past shows, and we have every single one of them available to you at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You simply go to the website and click on the Shows button, and you'll find a description of each and every show that we've done for more than a year, and you can just simply click on that link and either download the show, or you can listen to it right there as you're online with Grape Encounters Radio. Another thing you might want to check out is our photo gallery, where we've got a whole bunch of photos of all the things that we've done and talked about here on Grape Encounters Radio. You might also want to check out those highly sought-after mermaid photos. You'll find them in the artiste file under our photo gallery. Really worth checking out. And, of course, all the other photos there as well. There's a lot of fun to be found at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. So I really want to be sure to mention our friends over at Sarlos & Sons. Now, their wines are rare only because they sell out every single year, and you need to get in on the action before they do. I think, actually, some of their wines have already sold out this year. We love their wines. You can go to SarlosAndSons.com. We highly recommend them. They're really my personal favorite. And you can go to SarlosAndSons.com. That's SaarlosAndSons.com. Check out their blends. Their blends are really to die for. So, so good. I just drank a bottle of their brother's wine last night, and that is just a wonderful piece of art. Now, you also, if you're in the area, want to go to the tasting room, because it is like no other tasting room that you've been to. It's just so much fun. There's so much action going on there. The people are so incredibly nice. And the Sarlos & Sons wines are totally off the charts. You can sit on their outdoor patio and watch all the goings-on down in downtown Los Olivos. It is a whole lot of fun. Your Grape Encounter continues on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. I am your host, David Wilson. Oh, this segment is just not going to be long enough. We are on with Jim Fialek, the executive director of the Santa Barbara County Vintners Association, talking about the celebration of harvest going on next weekend. It's going to take place at Rancho Siskiyou. I've been to this event. It is so cool. I mean, it is way beyond a kid in a candy store. And Jim was just lecturing me before we went to the break about having a plan, that I have to map everything out before I go. That just seems like too much work, Jim.
It isn't too much work at all.
I just want to wander aimlessly and taste wine to my heart's content and find new. I'm not a planner.
We have an area for aimless people.
Okay.
We have an aimless shelter.
Now, I want to change subjects for a minute, okay? The whole idea of wine consumption, you know, we make an awful lot of wine here in the United States, an incredible amount of wine in California, but I was really amazed to see the difference in per capita wine consumption between the United States and other places on the planet. Like, on the list, we're like number 57. Can you imagine that?
Well, I can, but I'm going to go back to my Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain days, and I'm going to.
Okay.
No, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, because you know we have passed Italy as the number two consumer of wine in terms of volume. And take into account that 44% of our adult population does not consume any alcohol whatsoever.
Well, that's right, and of course, when we say per capita, we're also counting your 2-year-old child as well. Everybody.
Exactly. So you're talking over 300 million people, but now the wine consumption in the United States has risen over 30%. In the last 10 years.
Jim, just between 2004 and 2008, it was 14.5% and climbing fast. We drink on average per capita 9.68 liters of wine. And by the way, I did my math. That's about 13 bottles per year per American, okay? And do you know who consumes the most wine per capita? This is gonna blow your shorts off. You don't know, do you? Okay, I'm going to tell you because we don't have much time.
Tell me.
They drink on average 90 bottles per year, okay, versus our 13 bottles. 90 bottles per year, Vatican City. Can you imagine that?
Ah.
They're drinking more wine than any place else on planet Earth.
Great thing is a lot of it starts out as water. That's the interesting part. However, the thing that throws a bit of this here, you know, that I think is good, you know, good news, that the younger generation, my generation was the first generation to adopt wine as,
right,
as the core beverage. And it continued. Now the generations in between went maybe more towards spirits and craft beers. Now wine's popping back in there again. Our core consumers, 16% of our population, of the people who drink any alcohol, account for 91% of all the wine consumed.
Wow, that's so amazing.
So that per capita, then those people are probably doing better than the Cardinals.
Okay, now
I'm not talking about the ones in St. Louis.
Okay, so let's talk about how much is too much, because my mom, I'm sure, is going to be listening to this show. But in terms, first of all, of intoxication, I found a chart, and you've probably seen the same charts that show, what puts you into the intoxication category. Basically, you've got five and a half glasses of wine technically in a bottle of wine. Is that correct?
Yes.
Based on 4.5 ounces per glass. So how many glasses of wine does it take, you know, to reach a 0.08?
But it depends on your weight.
Well, that's right.
It depends on your metabolism. It depends on your body chemistry. And I can tell you that it depends on the day. Women have a different chemical matrix, and their ability to assimilate and spread the alcohol in the bloodstream, how it is broken down, is different than men. And so alcohol gets into the bloodstream a little bit faster than it does in men. And so you combine that with that most women are so svelte and thinner than we fat slobs, it takes less wine.
Wait. You just said we fat slobs, like you were including me in that.
You and I, because you and I, unfortunately, are not, you and I aren't going to make it on any of the cool TV shows.
Well, I want you to know, first of all, that I am often mistaken for Brad Pitt. Well, actually, people tell me that there's a very close family resemblance. They'll say, you know, Dave, you look like the Pitts.
Well, but the high school that I went to, you're talking about high school reunions, we were referred to as the prunes.
Okay.
And so a different type of pit.
All right. Well, but going back to this, you know, I don't advocate abusing alcohol in any way, shape, or form. And I think wine should be savored, not slugged down. But it's interesting, if you're a 175-pound male, on an empty stomach, and these are just sort of, you know, round numbers, and you shouldn't rely on this. To get to a 0.08, it's 3.5 glasses of wine based on a 4.5-ounce glass. And if you've got a full stomach, 4.0 to 4.9 glasses of wine, so very nearly a full bottle before you reach that level of intoxication. So, you know, it is very interesting. It takes quite a bit to get to that point. But beyond intoxication, the more interesting subject is calories and wine, I think, because I think people have an overinflated idea about how wine affects them from a dietary standpoint.
Absolutely. And it is, most people would tend to say, well, I'm drinking dry wine, so there's no calories. And it is the alcohol that provides the calories. So,
right.
How you look at it, you know, and you have the same figures I have. I said, but, red wine typically has more calories than white wine. Usually because it tends to be a little bit higher in alcohol.
But generally speaking, here's the deal. If you have one or two glasses of wine at night, you're going to have less than 200 calories that you're going to be consuming, and you're not going to be intoxicated by drinking that much wine. And so if you eat a lean cuisine and pair that with a nice glass or two of wine, you're going to be fine. You know, enjoy yourself.
Well, the other thing with wine, and let's use red wine, it not only goes well with the meal, but it helps your stomach digest and get rid of chemicals that could actually hurt you, because the pH, the acidity, the phenols in the wine allow the stomach to release certain amounts of nitric oxide, which is something that the stomach has, which optimizes, I mean, its ability to digest. I mean, this is, again, if you keep everything in balance, this is the secret to life. Keep everything in balance, everything's going to go much longer. And wine is just a part of that. Make it a part of your meal. You enjoy your meal. Your digestive tract enjoys it more, too. What could be better?
Well, you know, the whole thing is that in these countries where there is a large amount of wine being consumed, there's also a large amount of fat and other unsavory things being consumed. And these people are thinner than us and live longer. And they're starting to find some really interesting correlations between wine and health. And we'll talk some other time about the very long list of health benefits that come from wine. But we'll save that. We'll have to save that for another discussion.
Yeah. Think digestion and stress. There aren't any. The wine helps both of those things. And if you can increase the ability and the efficiency of your digestion and cut down stress, you're going to live a lot longer.
Amen to that. But we are running out of time, so let's talk about the event again. It's this next weekend. It takes place at Rancho Sisquoc, right?
And Rancho Sisquoc.
And you can get more information and even buy tickets online, right?
We get SB, like Sierra Bravo, sbcountywines.com.
sbcountywines.com. But I will tell you, I've been multiple times, and it's one of the most fun legal things that you can do, period. I mean, it is the rockin' good time that takes place in California at this time of year. It is so fantastic.
Well, thank you. I mean, I happen to think that we had a couple here several years ago who found out about the event on the radio. It was 2:30. It was already an hour and a half into it. They came in. They go, first time we've ever been away. Our 2.5-year-old, our mother's babysitting. You know, da 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 da. They came in. They got one glass of wine each. They sat down on the lawn. And as I was leaving, they pulled me over and they said, "We have to thank you. This has been the best day that we've had in our marriage." And I mean, they weren't out tasting. They were just sitting there soaking it all up. That's the kind of event.
I'm going to tell you, we're going to end it on that thought. We're going to be back with more Grape Encounters Radio. But I do want to say there's no better way to patch up a marriage than a really good bottle of wine.
I'll go with that.
Jim Filek, thanks for being on this show. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. And by the way, we're going to be visiting and having a wonderful visit with Tristan Johnson of morewinemaking.com. And we are going to talk about wine blending. It is going to be a great, great discussion. Can't wait to get Tristan on the line. In the meantime, you are on the line with Grape Encounters Radio. I am your host, David Wilson, on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
I really want to be sure to mention our friends over at Sarlos and Sons. Now, their wines are rare only because they sell out every single year, and you need to get in on the action before they do. I think, actually, some of their wines have already sold out this year. We love their wines. You can go to sarlosandsons.com. We highly recommend them. They're really my personal favorite. And you can go to sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com. Check out their blends. Their blends are really to die for. So, so good. I just drank a bottle of their brother's wine last night, and that is just a wonderful piece of art. Now, you also, if you're in the area, want to go to the tasting room, because it is like no other tasting room that you've been to. It's just so much fun. There's so much action going on there. The people are so incredibly nice, and the Sarlos & Sons wines are totally off the charts. You can sit on their outdoor patio and watch all the goings-on down in downtown Los Olivos. It is a whole lot of fun.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Are you new to Grape Encounters Radio? If so, you may want to check out some of our past shows, and we have every single one of them available to you at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You simply go to the website and click on the Shows button, and you'll find a description of each and every show that we've done for more than a year, and you can just simply click on that link and either download the show, or you can listen to it right there as you're online with Grape Encounters Radio. Another thing you might want to check out is our photo gallery, where we've got a whole bunch of photos of all the things that we've done and talked about here on Grape Encounters Radio. You might also want to check out those highly sought after mermaid photos. You'll find them in the artiste file under our photo gallery. Really worth checking out. And of course, all the other photos there as well. There's a lot of fun to be found at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We're back. with more Grape Encounters Radio on grapeencountersradio.com. I'm your host, David Wilson. Well, this is always one of my favorite parts of the show, but this week I am especially excited about what we're going to do in our home winemaking segment with Tristan Johnson, who is the brand manager at morewinemaking.com. Hey, Tristan, welcome back to Grape Encounters Radio.
Thanks, as always, for having me, Dave.
You know what? We usually do like a little 4 or 5 minute little mini segment. And for those who haven't caught Grape Encounters before, what we do is we've been every week going through the different phases of winemaking. It's particularly interesting to people who want to make wine at home or are maybe considering becoming winemakers. But I think it's just equally valuable to people who are wine lovers because there's so many things that go into making a bottle of wine that people are just not aware of, right?
Yeah, I think that there's always an added level of appreciation when you understand the process that goes into this thing that you really love, you know, and whether that's classic cars or, in our case, wine, having a more thorough understanding of it just increases your enjoyment and appreciation.
Okay, so here's the deal. We were looking at the list of phases and noticed that this week we were going to be talking about blending. Wine blending. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know what, this topic is something that is so dear to me and so exciting to me because we here at Grape Encounters Radio tend to be rebels, Tristan, and tend to break a lot of the rules. And when I realized that we were going to be talking about wine blending, I thought, you know what, let's just take this way beyond our little 4 or 5 minute segment and really get into the real nitty gritty and maybe even dare our listeners to do some things that are absolutely taboo with wine. Are you up for that challenge?
Always. You know, I don't think there really are any taboos with wine or any that are valid.
Well, there used to be, but maybe those are going away. I want to start by saying this, okay? I'm going to just talk a little bit about my personal life. You know, I don't normally bring my personal life into the show too much, but I do have a very special female-type person in my life. And I mentioned last week on the show that, believe it or not, she is not a red wine drinker. And, you know, I'm a big red kind of guy, as you know. And she was drinking a lot of the pink stuff, I must say. But she also is drinking a lot of, you know, Muscat, Canale, and, you know, those kinds of things. So she wanders into the world of whites as well. But you know what? Everything that she's drinking, I think, seems to be, you know, not quite right. It's like the three bears in the porridge. You know, this one's a little too much of this, and this one's not enough of that. And I've been thinking to myself, you know, I should maybe take on the challenge of blending a wine for her.
Yeah.
And so before we're done talking about wine blending, I'm going to get your ideas. I'll tell you a little bit about her palate. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the wine store tonight and I'm going to pick up whatever it takes, 2, 3, 4 bottles of wine right off the shelf. And we're going to make her the perfect wine tonight. Do you think, what do you think about that idea?
I mean, it's absolutely something that you can do. If you find a wine that you like 80% of what it has going on, but you wish there was a little bit more of this, you know, all you need is a decanter and a wine with a little bit more of that thing. And, you know, there's no reason why you can't craft yourself the perfect wine on your own.
Yeah, why not? And you know what? It's something that most people who drink wine think should be left to the discretion of the winemaker. But I say, you know what? I bought it. I can do whatever I want with it. If I want to bathe in the wine, you know, that's my prerogative, right?
That's right. And, you know, the thing is, they made more, so...
Exactly. So, you know, why don't be such a sissy, you know, when it comes to when it comes to wine. You know, take some chances and don't be afraid to rock the boat. There's a guy who wrote a book, The Home Winemaker's Companion. His name is Gene Spaziani, I believe, is how you pronounce that. And he writes, he says, I'm convinced that in many cases, blending wine enhances it. By blending, you're adding additional flavors to the primary wine. And he says traditional European winemakers have been blending wine for centuries, and now winemakers in the USA are finally discovering the many advantages of blending. And then he goes on to talk about some blending that he just does on his own. He says some blending I've done in recent years includes Chardonnay and Pinot Grigio in two forms. In the first form, Chardonnay is the primary wine at 65 to 70%, and Pinot Grigio at 30 to 35% is the secondary wine. This wine I call Chargrigio. And he says, then I take the 65 to 70% of Pinot Grigio and blend it with the 30 to 35% of the Chardonnay, and we have a wine called Grigionnais.
Grigionnais,
not bad. And he says, the blending of red wines can be just as much fun with positive results. Another one of my blends that won a medal recently was a blend of Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. It was about 60% Syrah, 20% each of the two Cabernets. The wine was called Syrah-Binet. Okay, anyway, and he goes on to talk about all these different blends that he makes and how much fun he's having with it. And so, anyway, I'm just going to encourage our listeners to do that. But let's talk about wine blending from the pros. And by the way, if you are just joining us, it's Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here. We're talking wine blending with our winemaking expert. And I do mean expert, Tristan Johnson, the brand manager over at morewinemaking.com. And obviously, if you want to discover what Tristan's got going on, and they have definitely got it going on, go to morewinemaking.com. There's all kinds of cool stuff over there. You too can become a winemaker for as little as a few hundred bucks, right?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get going.
And I'm not, by the way, sometimes people will write me and they'll say, gosh, it sounds like a commercial for some of these guys. And you know what? Yeah, I pick people to talk to on the show that know what they're doing, that have got their groove, as they say. And you guys are like blowing the doors off your business right now, aren't you? I mean, it's huge right now.
Yeah, and it's grown every year, and it's something that's really great to see. I love the idea of people getting back to taking control, doing some of this stuff at home. It's reasonable price-wise. You get to make the wine that you want to drink. You know, it's interesting talking about blending commercial wines to create your ideal wine when home winemakers are doing the same thing all the time.
You know, we're just in my scenario, we're just skipping a couple of steps and having a little fun. And I've actually done this. I've actually done this quite often where, you know, I want a Cab Syrah blend and just can't quite find the exact one. So I just do it myself. What the heck? Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lot of fun. But from a professional winemaker's perspective, you know, let's talk about, first of all, this paragraph from Mr. Spaziani, who mentions the fact that in Europe they've been blending for centuries and we're really just catching on here in the United States. And you know, why is that? And what is the trend right now?
Well, you know, I think that the tradition in the United States definitely isn't there. We don't have 1,000 years of winemaking because we don't have 1,000 years of history. But, you know, blending is something that is almost ubiquitous, I think, at this point. We refer in the world of winemaking, we refer to blending as being the true winemaker's art. Controlling fermentation, managing the influence of oak and oxygen and acid and all of the other components of the wine are certainly all parts of the winemaker's art when it comes to crafting an individual wine. But when it comes to what you're putting in the bottle, what you're going to turn out to the public, the real art is in the blend. It's in knowing what a wine's strengths and weaknesses are, and not just an individual wine, but your entire library of wines that you have in tank or in barrel, and knowing how you can combine those wines to play off of each other's strengths and to accentuate each other's strengths.
Well, let me ask you this question. There, when you go to a wine store and you pick up a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, it'll say on the label Cabernet Sauvignon, but if you read the label a little more closely, you'll see that there may be other things in there.
That's right.
What are the rules?
The rules are if it says Cabernet Sauvignon on the front, it needs to be at least 70% Cabernet Sauvignon. That's really it.
So 30% of something else is quite significant. I mean, you know, so I could literally put, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I could put 30% of white Zinfandel in there and I could still call it Cabernet Sauvignon, right?
You could. It probably wouldn't taste great, but you definitely could do that.
Well, trust me, adding 70% Cabernet Sauvignon to 30% white Zinfandel would definitely improve the white Zinfandel.
There you go.
Trust me. Anyway, but okay, so that's the rules. It's a 70-30 rule.
Yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot of wiggle room, man. A lot.
It does. It gives you a lot of room to, like I said, take the characteristics inherent in your Cabernet and accentuate them. And you know, we like to kind of eschew the whole discussion of flaws or weaknesses in our wine because as winemakers, we like to believe that we don't have any of those. But the fact of the matter is, no wine is perfect, or very rarely is a vintage so good that the wine is on its own just perfect. And so sometimes what you're trying to do is not just accentuate the good, but also to mask some of the not so good. And you know, being able to do that effectively is really important.
I gotta tell you though, I hate that term mask. You know, it sounds like you're putting a Band-Aid on the wine. Is it really masking a bad characteristic, or is it just creating a combination of flavors that you know, where the sum of the parts is better than what they are individually?
You know, and I think that is a good way to look at it, Dave. In keeping with your example of the Cabernet Sauvignon, think about the classic claret blend, the Bordeaux wines. You have Cabernet or Merlot, or in some cases Cabernet Franc is sort of the main wine, depending on what region of Bordeaux you're from. But it almost always, the finished blend almost always contains some of each of those and probably also some Petit Verdot. And you know, the Petit Verdot on its own as a wine, there are some really good examples out there, but they're sort of few and far between. It's a wine that has a tremendous amount of structure, and it's used to help prop up the Cabernet or to prop up the Merlot and to give the wine added body and depth and strength. So no matter how you look at it, whether you want to say that the Merlot has a flaw of not having enough body and we're propping it up, or the Cab doesn't have enough tannic structure and we're propping it up, or you want to say we're taking this Cab or Merlot that has incredible aroma and flavor but doesn't have the structure that we're looking for, and we're taking this Petit Verdot that has wonderful structure but doesn't have a tremendous amount going on as far as flavor and aroma, and together we're making a wine that is greater than the sum of the parts by blending.
Well, and also I kind of look at it like that salad that they put on your table in a restaurant, and you know, then the person comes with that gigantic pepper grinder under their arm and ask you if you need pepper. You know, it's not a pepper salad, but that bit of pepper can totally change the taste of that salad and make it so much better an experience, a dining experience. So, I mean, it works the same way, I think. But we're going to talk a lot more about this. I think it's a great, interesting subject. It's Grape Encounters Radio with Tristan Johnson, the brand manager at morewinemaking.com, and, of course, your humble host, David Wilson here. We're so glad you decided to join the party on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
I really want to be sure to mention our friends over at Sarlos & Sons. Now, their wines are rare only because they sell out every single year, and you need to get in on the action before they do. I think, actually, some of their wines have already sold out this year. We love their wines. You can go to sarlosandsons.com. We highly recommend them. They're really my personal favorite. And you can go to sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com. Check out their blends. Their blends are really to die for. So, so good. I just drank a bottle of their brother's wine last night, and that is just a wonderful piece of art. Now, you also, if you're in the area, want to go to the tasting room, because it is like no other tasting room that you've been to. It's just so much fun. There's so much action going on there. The people are so incredibly nice. And the Sarlos & Sons wines are totally off the charts. You can sit on their outdoor patio and watch all the goings-on down in downtown Los Olivos. It is a whole lot of fun.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Are you new to Grape Encounters Radio? If so, you may want to check out some of our past shows, and we have every single one of them available to you at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You simply go to the website and click on the Shows button, and you'll find a description of each and every show that we've done for more than a year, and you can just simply click on that link and either download the show, or you can listen to it right there as you're online with Grape Encounters Radio. Another thing you might want to check out is our photo gallery, where we've got a whole bunch of photos of all the things that we've done and talked about here on Grape Encounters Radio. You might also want to check out those highly sought-after mermaid photos. You'll find them in the artiste file under our photo gallery. Really worth checking out. And of course, all the other photos there as well. There's a lot of fun to be found at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Well, love my rosy child, you got the way to make me happy.
And the Grape Encounters party continues on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. I love, 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 love this topic and have wanted to talk more about it on Grape Encounters Radio for such a long time. It's David Wilson here with Tristan Johnson, the brand manager over at morewinemaking.com, an expert on winemaking. You know, we were talking in the last segment, Tristan, about, you know, just little touches of wines that you would not drink as a single varietal wine, but that can make a big difference. It doesn't take much, does it?
No, it really takes an incredibly small amount in a lot of cases. Going back to the example of Petit Verdot and in terms of its role as a blender, I was just thinking while we were away about Zinfandel that I made a couple of years ago that I had some Verdot. I wanted to do a little bit of blending with it. And so I sat down and, you know, when you go to approach it, you don't just say, okay, I'm going to put in this much, you dump it all together and then you hope for the best. You actually really take a very measured approach and, you know, scientific glassware, and I'm sitting there measuring out ratios and tasting. And the ultimate amount of Petit Verdot that I wound up blending into my Zinfandel was 2.5%.
Wow.
That was it.
But that's like a sprinkle of salt, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it made such a tremendous difference in the wine. That was, you know, and I tried all the way up to 10 or 15%. And the one that I ultimately liked was just this little tiny, you know, like you said, a dash of Petit Verdot.
Is it hard to exercise that kind of restraint?
I don't think so. I think once you find the blend that tastes the best, it's easy, you know?
When you first started making wine, were you surprised at how little wine it takes to make a big difference?
Yes. I was amazed that you had such a perceptible difference in flavor at such a small amount of a blender being added into your main wine.
I'd be real interested to maybe just go into a wine store sometime and just start writing down the blends. Say, you know, go to a Meritage section of reds and just start writing down the formulas and just to see what the commonalities are there, you know, because I think that as I drink more and more wine, I notice that that the blends that I like tend to be very similar and contain the similar ingredients.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe more than paying attention to everything that's on the shelf is just paying attention to those wines which stand out to you when you drink them. You know, in the Meritage section, you're going to have maybe a little bit more continuity in terms of the amount or the proportions of wines that are being blended, because oftentimes, as winemakers, part of the reason why we make the Meritage or the Vintners blend wines are because we have some left over that we need to do something with. And so it's more likely that you're going to have higher proportions and you're going to be 60-20-20 or 30-30-40 or something like that. What's really interesting is looking at the varietal wines and seeing what varieties winemakers choose to blend with their varietal wines and in what proportions. One of the blends that's become very popular and something that I had never even thought of doing on my own until I started seeing them is the Shiraz Viognier that's become pretty common out of Australian wineries.
Shiraz Viognier?
Yeah, where you'll have wines that are, and even Cab Viognier, that are up to 15% Viognier with the red wine, and it makes for a wonderful, wonderful blend.
So let me ask you an important question. There are two ways to blend that I know of. One is co-fermentation. Mm-hmm. And the other is to blend, you know, after fermentation. That's the more popular way to blend, correct?
Yeah, and definitely the way that's going to give you the most control over the finished product.
Why would one co-ferment wines?
From a logistical standpoint, if you have one big container and don't have any small containers empty, or your fruit's all coming in at the same time and you have to do something with it, or if you know based on experience that from your vineyards, you know, these three vineyards or these three varietals, you know, go very, very well together. And so this is a wine I know I'm going to make this year. But logistically speaking, it can be quite difficult as well because, as you're probably aware, Dave, the grapes all come ready at different times.
So, right.
You know, you don't really find yourself in a position where you can co-ferment different varietals.
It's much riskier, right?
Well, it's, you know, if the Cab isn't going to be ready for 2 weeks and you're pulling the Merlot now, you can't sit around and wait 2 weeks to ferment the Merlot. So,
So let's we are running very low on time. And when we began talking about blending, I talked to you about my significant other and the challenge that I have. Okay, so we're going to solve this problem right now because I'm going to act on your advice.
Okay,
and I'm going to do this tonight, and then when we talk next week, I'm going to let you know how it went. Okay,
yeah, I'll be really, really interested.
Okay, so she likes that kind of that very sweet syrupy flavor. In some of the Moscato type wines, you know, and even the late harvest wines, but they tend to be too sweet for her. She likes the flavor, but not the strength of the sweetness and the syrupiness. Okay, mm-hmm. She loves the flowery characteristic in a Viognier, but tends to be a little bit too dry for her. And we've had trouble with the Rieslings only because they tend to be, you know, very inconsistent. One can be very dry and one can be very sweet. But for all intents and purposes, she wants sweet, but not too sweet. So give me a recipe. And we've got about 30 seconds to do it, by the way.
Okay. So the Muscat with Sauvignon Blanc would probably be very good.
Okay.
Or also you could consider blending about 20-30% champagne with the Muscat?
No bubbles.
No bubbles? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking about maybe a Viognier and a late harvest Riesling.
That could be quite interesting.
All right. Well, you know what? Maybe we should ponder this just a little bit more. I will take your suggestion, and I'll try the other one as well. And if people want more information on blending or anything having to do with home winemaking, they can go to morewinemaking.com. And Tristan, you'll be back on next week, as usual. It'll be a shorter segment. But I really, really appreciate your being on this week and talking to us about blending, because it's such an interesting subject.
Well, as you know, it's always my pleasure, Dave.
And we'll have more on home winemaking here on Grape Encounters Radio next week. But for now, we're off to break a few rules. We'll see you next week on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.